Wait a minute, wait a turn on the radio. My homie got a new show and it's time to play it though. I hope you got in tune. He talking bigger business. Make a lot of moves.
Welcome to the Startup Showcase. I'm your host, Scott Catoon, and this is TechNori Live from WGN Radio, where Chicago's top tech founders and entrepreneurs come to share their story. Sitting across me, Caleb Gardner, the co-founder of 18 Coffees. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Of course. Thank you for coming in short notice, which is, I guess we're starting to realize that we have, you know, I don't want to say we've made it because we haven't, but you know you've semi-made it when, like, you can't fill a spot and there's, like, an hour left, and literally you can text one person and, like, bing, and five people show up immediately. You know it's going well. Before we jump into your background, which I'm super excited to learn more about, you've got a pretty diverse background. Let's first start off with what 18 Coffees is. What is 18 Coffees?
18 Coffees is a digital strategy and innovation firm focused on helping mission-driven organizations get a foothold in their own digital strategy. And really, we call it own the future. I mean, it's being a bridge to where is the real value in technology and data strategy and, you know, all these new opportunities that exist today. How can we help you wrap your mind around that? And we focus on mission-driven organizations because we really want to help the people that are trying to change the world. And that means everything from early-stage startups with really interesting ideas that are trying to disrupt some kind of social issue on a for-profit basis to bigger nonprofits that are already doing really great work and just need to wrap their heads around digital.
So we're going to get into your interest in particular in mission-based stuff in a minute when we talk more about your background. But on the 18 Coffees front, walk me through, as a customer or client, what my experience is with you. What do I call you? What am I missing when I call you? And how do you give it to me?
Yeah, what we try to do with our clients, first of off, is just define the problem and help them develop a strategy to solve the problem. So we've done everything from social media strategy, email acquisition and strategy, online fundraising, content strategy and content development. It really has depended on what people are trying to wrap their heads around, where the problem is. But our process is pretty much always the same. And we would come in, we dig into the data with people. We do our research, sometimes in-market research, and then we collaboratively develop a strategy and approach. And then depending on the size of the project, we often extend into execution just enough to get some actual in-market data and help people prove the value of the strategy. And then, you know, actually hire, like, help create job descriptions and integrate technology and help on the back end in terms of getting it up and running.
Very cool. So your background in general, how did you get into this? Because, like, for me, working with TechNori and the startups we work with and trying to help them with funding and getting their business models in place and pretty much everything, I think we sweep the floor sometime even, when boiled down, it just comes down to problem solver. Like, at the end of the day, it's like troubleshooting and what are some ideas to, like, avoid getting into jams in the first place. So when I see someone who starts a company like this, it's like, there had to have been a massive problem that you had to circumvent somewhere along the line that made you realize how simple it can be if a process is put in place. What did you do in the past that, like, got you to this point?
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, my background has always been in digital communications, digital marketing, digital engagement, everything from working at startup consultancies to, you know, working in-house at Bain & Company to helping strategy and planning at Edelman here in Chicago. And my frustration, you're exactly right that, like, starting a company like this came out of there not being a good solution to help people really navigate the digital world. I mean, we did a lot of website building. We did app development. We did a lot of running campaigns for people. I saw a
lot
of
notable
people. yeah, we'll get to that. But, you know, a lot of that is people trying to figure it out, right? Like, yeah, they put out an RFP, they're like, here's what we think we need.
That's the thing I noticed too, is like, and it's startups who are trying to solve bigger people's problems. And I'm going, you haven't solved your own problem with
exactly
your own thing.
Right.
Like,
yeah,
people, you know, and it varies. I mean, there's some companies that we talk about this now in the media space when we do a lot of different media stuff for people, and the larger companies have just different problems. Smaller companies have a problem understanding their market and understanding how to reach them and how to integrate that tool with a typically what is a slower system. And then larger companies, it's more of like, we've got so much going on, we're just like trying to be able to isolate things and know who we're talking about when we're talking about them.
Yeah, for sure.
So, like, on your end, where do you see, like, what were some of the problems that you saw Like, for example, with Bain, like, what are some of the problems that you saw that were easily solvable, but just for whatever reason were just not being solved, you know, for whatever reason?
Yeah, I mean, lots of bureaucracy at some of the clients that we would work with. You know, clients that were anywhere from 50 to 100, 150 years old, who were used to very specific ways of doing business, had customer acquisition models that were based on traditional media in a lot of ways. And just in the last few years, it started to wrap their head around, oh, our customer base is aging and we did rely on direct mail as a growth tactic. And maybe we should start exploring relaunching a website. I mean, some of the most basic, simple things that you would think, especially coming from the technology world, a lot of people are just starting to wrap their heads around. I mean, we're really living at this interesting historical dissonance between everyone understanding that there's this thing out there called quote unquote digital, which really just means like the application of, you know, advancing technology and data and interconnected relationships to business processes, right? But that doesn't mean they necessarily know what to do with
that. It's so funny the way that you bring that up, because I don't even know who it was. I was just talking to somebody the other day about this, how we live in such a bubble. Hopefully it doesn't burst soon. But such a bubble in tech where we just, like, if you spend all day with other tech companies, you just assume that, like, everybody knows what's going on, and, like, that social media management tools, like you use Hootsuite, like, pfft, Hootsuite, no. What do I look like? I'm 60? And, like, the reality is, like, 30 and 40 and 50-year-old people who are not involved in tech every day look at, like, don't even know what Hootsuite is, and that would be, like, a technological marvel.
That's right.
And,
yeah.
And that's the craziest part. And you, so there's like, so for like, for the startup companies, they're thinking like, well, there's how much market is there for this? And then I'm like, you ought to see what's going on outside of like, leave West Loop for 5 minutes and take a look and see what goes on. It's like utter darkness.
But it's hard because this is the reason we exist. There's no one to really help you navigate that. And it's a constantly moving target,
yeah.
Right? Like, to use Hootsuite as an example. 4 years ago, that would have been like, oh yeah, Hootsuite, it's the most innovative social media management product on the market.
Now we're laughing about it.
Right, and now we're laughing about it. And so like, if you're a bigger, quote-unquote, legacy company that's been around for a long time, you have no idea why we're laughing about Hootsuite,
no.
Right?
No.
And that's just one like microcosm of the larger problem or market opportunity for us to like help people navigate.
Very interesting. So let's get into the aforementioned background of you. Like, what are some of the more, you know, you talked about mission is a big piece of this. And it's interesting you say that because twofold. One, if you are one of these legacy companies we're talking about, when it comes to new customers, obviously you're trying to get new customers. But a big part of it is hiring.
Yep.
So like if you're going to hire new people who are going to chase after new customers, if you don't give the new people tools they're familiar with, they don't want to work for you. And then the other thing, which you mentioned, which is mission. The vast majority of young folks want to work for a company that's mission-driven, and they want to work for a company that's chasing after clients who are mission-driven because it gives them something to do that is maybe not as mundane as sitting there punching away keys in their cubicle. They want to know that at the end of the day they can clock out and go do something good.
Yeah, that's right.
That is something that has been is sort of at the forefront of your business, but also the forefront of your life. So talk to us a little bit about where the mission piece comes in for you.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're exactly right that we're living in a time of self-reflection about how we're spending our time and our money on products and services, right? Like everything from, is my day job, you know, really doing it for me, to now I have an amazing amount of choice and almost every product I've ever bought has been commoditized and I can buy things that are ethically sourced or have give-back models or, you know, are more environmentally friendly, et cetera, et cetera. And so it's a really interesting moment to think about how are people using social good as a differentiation point to go to market, but also, you know, things like B Corps exist and they're trying to, you know, be a more ethically responsible business in general. And for us, I was really interested in using our skill set in digital to help those trying to change the world and really prove out that that was a viable differentiation point. But I think it's also been super helpful for us on the talent side because we've been able to attract a ton of people that work with us that are just interested in the kind of clients that we work with for the exact reason that you're talking about.
Yeah.
I mean, I had you know, most of our talent comes from technology, communications, agency side, in-house consulting side. We've worked with some really, really great people, and they're just tired of spinning their wheels working on things that you know, don't feel like they're sometimes actively doing harm, but at least don't feel like you're doing good in the world. I had someone about 6 months ago I was sitting down having coffee with who said to me, you know, I my day job is selling processed cheese to children at an ad agency here in Chicago. Please, God, give me something better to do with my time. And I was like,
he's not selling bologna.
Yeah.
Could be worse.
Selling all kinds of things.
Salted
that,
meats,
right?
I feel like, is the end game there.
Yeah. And I'm very pragmatic about, like, we're shifting in that direction, but a lot of those companies are going to take a lot of time to feel that market pressure.
For sure.
But I think that's the direction we're going in.
Very cool. Personally speaking, where do you see sort of the next evolution? I mean, you talk about trying to hit your legacy companies you're working with are trying to hit a moving target. You also are now running a business, and so you too are trying to hit a moving target.
Yeah.
What do you see as being sort of the competitive advantage for you as you move forward? Like, what are some of the technologies you guys are already sort of trying to learn and master so that you can bring them to your clients?
Yeah, I think our biggest competitive advantage, honestly, is that we're building an interesting hybrid model that's like part consultancy, part agency, right? That is trying to help people solve long-term problems, trying to help them execute without creating dependency on us, right? Like, we're really looking to be a bridge to the future. And as part of that, we've built this interesting distributed talent model where we can have centralized strategy expertise, people who can help keep things on the rails, but we really rely on expertise and, you know, talent from all kinds of different industries doing all kinds of different things. And so I think that model of not, you know, needing necessarily yet a big office with a lot of overhead, with, you know, necessarily having to add all these extra costs that we have to pass along to our clients, but actually having a ton of people doing really interesting things, helping our clients try to change the world, is the biggest competitive advantage to me, because it means that we can be more competitive in terms of the type of work we take.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think one of these things about not just like your business, but businesses like it, and even to a degree, what we do when it comes to the media side of things is, and I honestly, and maybe you can chime in on this, but I haven't figured out for the life of me who's going to pay the tab. On one side of it, if you go back to your days at Bain, it used to be, I'm a company. I hire Bain to tell me how I should be doing things because I'm not doing things well.
Right.
Bain tells me how I should do things and then puts me in touch with an agency like you who then does them for me. So now I've essentially paid premium twice. Now, a lot of agencies and companies such as yourself have decided you don't need to pay for somebody else plus for me. Like, I'll give you strategy and all this other stuff, and I'll work on your consultancy side, but then I'll also create agency. So essentially, you've removed at least one markup on them. I haven't figured out, and that's awesome. I love where that model is going. I just haven't figured out, are all agencies going to start going that direction, or are the Bains of the world going to start like realizing that they have to actually provide like a hard product in the end and end up, you know, starting their own agencies, in which case, who wins that tug of war? Because while they have right. money, the main reason that they are not, you know, the main reason they lose clients to you is that they're not fleet of foot.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And I think it's probably more going to happen, or at least right now it's more happening on the consulting side than on the agency side.
Like, yeah.
Agencies moving up the value chain in terms of sitting with the C-suite and,
yep.
you know, where the Bain and McKinsey and even the Accentures of the world have traditionally held relationships is actually pretty tough. But Accenture, for one, is starting to extend into the agency side in really interesting ways, you know, hiring people from the agency world, building out content studios, basically saying we do the same kinds of things your agency would, so
yeah.
just depend on us. My problem with that is that it's still creating dependency. It's like doing the exact same thing you were just talking about in terms of marking up the consulting work and the agency work, but it's just under one roof. And there still isn't a clear path to not creating dependency on Accenture or on
Bain long-term. Well, and a large entity like that has no choice but to build a scale model. So,
that's
like,
exactly
regardless,
right.
they're going to build five versions of what they're going to sell you, and then they're just going to
rebuild, right.
just going to stick your logo on it. Like, it's
and
not
really,
going to have a touch
the
point.
Bigger companies, I think, philosophically have a harder time with the nimbleness and agility that you need to really help people in digital. Like, when
yeah.
I was working with clients at Bain, you know, we were working with these gigantic corporations, and we were a gigantic company ourselves, and it was a lot of times like two octopuses shaking hands, you know, and like, how are you supposed to help people navigate a nimble digital world where, you know, the right answer is maybe only 50% of the right answer at any given time when you have this kind of traditional consulting model that is based upon a very different looking world.
Yeah, very interesting. Where do people go to work with you to learn more about this and sort of engage 18 Coffee?
18coffees.com, 18, the numbers 18, coffees, plural.com. It's definitely a great point. You can follow me on Twitter at Caleb Gardner. I'm pretty responsive there. Otherwise, you know, I probably have like 17 different inboxes.
Otherwise, wait, and we'll be hitting you on your phone with a cold call soon.
Yeah, exactly.
Some way or another. Caleb, this has been great. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you so much for having me.
Of course. You can catch this episode of More at Technori.com. Download the podcast on iTunes. Stay connected by following us on Facebook and Twitter at Technori, or you can follow me at Katoon. Boom, that's a wrap.